divine souls. Yesterday I started explaining to you about meditation. Meditation is something that we need to do daily on the path of bhakti. It is our karma sannyas ki sadhana. Karma yog ki sadhana was also explained to you. Karma yog sadhana means remembering God throughout the whole rest of the day. Karma sannyas sadhana means when you cease all worldly activities and you sit in a quiet place and you meditate on the form of God. This meditation is very important because it's time that we spend intensively trying to remember God. So it's the best chance we have to develop our attachment to God and progress more quickly on the path towards God realization. I also told you that meditating on God is very difficult if you try to meditate on formless God, but it's much more natural if you meditate on the personal form of God. You can meditate on any form of God. However, out of all the forms, the form of Radha Krishna provides us the most freedom for how to love them as far as the bhav, the four different bhav, which I explained to you. You can adopt any of those bhav with Shri Krishna. You can love him as your master, your friend, your child, your beloved. You don't have the same freedom with his other forms. Also, his form looks just like us. So it's very easy to feel related to him and love him. He has two arms, two legs. He's very charming, very elegantly dressed. And there's no formality with Shri Krishna. So it makes meditation very easy. Although the principles of meditation would apply to any form of God. So you can adopt this style of meditation for any form of God. However, tonight I'll be explaining specifically for meditating on Shri Krishna. Yesterday I told you regarding this meditation that we cannot expect anybody to show us God before we become qualified. So one shouldn't think, Guruji, just show me Shri Krishna one time and then I'll be able to meditate on him. Even if we were able to see him, we would not recognize his divinity and we wouldn't get any benefit from having seen him since we're not even qualified to meet him yet. So we have to do the work first. Doing the work means meditating on him, doing Roop Dhyan. Roop means the form, Dhyan means meditating. Then I explained to you that while we meditate on the form of Shri Krishna, we should not think that it is mere imagination. It is not just our imagination. Because he has uncountable forms. So whatever form we can imagine, his uncountable forms amongst all of those, our imagined formed would also be included. And he's omnipresent. So if we're thinking of him faithfully, that he is right here with us, and we meditate on his form with those feelings, that this is real Shri Krishna that I'm meditating on, then you get the benefit of meditating on Shri Krishna. Even though we cannot correctly visualize his divine form until we get a divine mind, yet because of his grace, because of his kindness, he gives us the benefit of our effort. You can think of it like if a 5-year-old child got up here and gave you a lecture on meditation, you'd say, "Wah, beta, shabash." You'd be so happy, you'd lavish so much praise on him. Then if some professor gets up or some scientist gets up and gives a lecture on some topic, You think, okay, it's normal, it's natural, he's supposed to be an expert in that field. So something like that, Shri Krishna sees us as little children. So he says, oh, they're trying to meditate on me, let me grace them. That's all. He just looks for our effort. We don't have to worry about, is his nose in the right place or his eyes shaped just right. We just try to the best of our effort, and he graces us for that faithful effort that we perform. Okay, we understand now the basis of this meditation. So what do we have to do? First of all, find a quiet place to meditate. You can do it alone, or you can do it with others who are going to meditate along with you, but you shouldn't be in a place where others are going to disturb you. Like many people have a little mandir in their kitchen, in one of the cupboards, and they do a quick prayer before, serving dinner to the family. They offer food to Bhagwan first. It's okay if you get up early in the morning before anyone else is up, if you want to sit there in the kitchen and meditate in front of your mandir. But don't try to do that once the kids are up, everybody's walking around, getting ready for school, doing this and that, and you're sitting there and trying to meditate. It's not going to work. So find yourself a place where you won't be disturbed. When you get to a certain level, you can meditate anywhere you want, but we're not at that level now. We have to work to get to that level. You know, when you want to make curd, if you want to make butter, the first thing you have to do is take some milk and let it sit in a quiet place until it becomes curd. Then you churn the curd and you make the butter. But the first step was you had to keep that milk totally still in a quiet place. When you first have the milk, if you add water to it, it's totally spoiled, right? You'll never be able to make butter out of it then. But once you've let it sit, it's become curd, you churned it, it became butter. Now add water to the butter, nothing happens. It's impervious to the water. The water can't penetrate it. This is what our mind is like right now. Our mind is like that milk. So the world can easily enter into it and spoil our meditation. But once we've reached a certain level, our mind becomes like butter. We've worked, we've churned, we've meditated until we've gotten to the point that no matter where we are, the world doesn't enter us, and we can meditate on Shri Krishna anywhere, anytime. But in this beginning stage, we have to find a quiet place to begin. Then what? Asina sambhavat. Brahma Sutra says, sit. Later on, you can meditate in any position. You can stand, you can do it running, you can do it working, you can lie down and meditate. But in the beginning, we want to give ourselves every advantage so that our mind is more easy to control. So it's better to sit. There's no particular posture, though, that has to be adopted for meditating on Radha Krishna. You don't have to cross your legs if you don't want to. You don't even have to sit on the ground if you don't want to. You can sit in a chair. You don't have to hold your fingers or your hands in any certain way. These rules of meditation are for other types of practices. It has nothing to do with bhakti to Bhagwan. Because bhakti is done from in here. The only reason we're told to sit, and achalatvam chapekshya, Brahma Sutra, sit still, no fidgeting. Sit alertly and still. Why? Because it puts your mind on alert. If you're trying to meditate and you're just a little too relaxed, you're leaning back, you're a little too comfortable, what's going to happen? One of two things. Either you'll fall asleep, or if you don't fall asleep, what you're signaling to your mind by a more, you can say, a little lazier posture is that it's okay to be lazy. In other words, you're telling your mind, it's okay, you can fool around, you can do whatever you want. When you sit alertly, you're signaling the mind, I'm not going to put up with any of your monkey business right now. It's time to meditate on Shri Krishna. So the posture helps you if you sit in an alert way, comfortable but alert, and then it's going to help you control your mind. Then what? Then do Rup Dhyan. Now, just like there's no particular posture you have to adopt, there's no rule and regulation for where you can or can't do it. You just have to find a place where you won't be disturbed. And there's no rule about what time you have to do it. Any time of the day or night, according to your convenience. But it is wise to set a regular time so that it becomes a habit for you. If you do it at the same time every day, maybe as soon as you get up in the morning or before you go to bed at night, if you get in that habit of doing it at the same time, then it becomes something you get used to doing, and it also becomes just a part of your routine. So if you don't do it, you feel like something is missing. That feeling should be there. Oh, what happened? Oh, what am I missing? Oh yes, I didn't do my meditation today. That feeling should come. So it helps if you set a regular time. Now, we're ready, we're in a quiet place, we're sitting, it's time to do Rup Dhyan. How do we do that? You have five senses, actually. And all five of your senses exist in a subtle form in your mind. So when you're imagining the form of Shri Krishna, you're not actually using your physical eyes. You're using your subtle sense of sight, which is embedded in your mind. So it's actually your mind that's doing the work. The other four senses in their subtle state are also embedded in your mind. So your sense of smell, taste, hearing, and touch, as well as the sense of sight, are all there in the mind in a subtle way. Actually, they originate there, and then they function through the physical organ of the eyes or ears or nose or skin or tongue. But the actual sense is there in your mind. So you can use all five of your senses to meditate. You can see Shri Krishna. How do you see him? What will you see? Well, this also you have freedom with. We have descriptions according to our scriptures, according to saints who have seen Shri Krishna. We have descriptions like, Shri Krishna has very shiny black hair, which is gently curly. He has like locks of curls coming down, and his hair, it falls down to his shoulders. Radharani normally braids her hair. She also has gently curvy, curly hair, and it's normally braided or plaited. Shri Krishna lets his fall free. He wears a crown, normally a golden crown that has jewels in it like emeralds and rubies and diamonds and sapphires. And he also has his peacock feather, which comes at an angle out of the crown. Now, here you have freedom. You don't have to restrict yourself to a certain kind of decoration of Shri Krishna. You can say, today I want to see Shri Krishna with more messy hair. Like he's been out playing, he's been out grazing the cows, and he's got some dust in his hair, and his hair is kind of messed up a little bit. You can see it that way. Or you can see it just after Mother Yashoda has given him a bath and combed his hair, and his hair is all shiny and perfectly in its place. It's up to you. You want his hair to be longer, shorter, more curly, less curly. It's all up to you. There's no right or wrong in this meditation. Maybe you really like the way a big nose looks, like a prominent nose on someone's face. So you want to see that on Shri Krishna. He should have a nose. They say the nose like a parrot. The parrot has a very beautiful big beak. So maybe you want Shri Krishna to have a very prominent nose like that. Maybe you think, no, 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 I like a little smaller nose. Little upturned at the end. A cute little nose. That's up to you. Saints have described that his complexion is dark and bluish. Like a fresh rain-laden cloud. That deep blue color of a fresh rain-laden cloud. But with a sparkle to it like a sapphire. And a softness to it like the petal of a blue lotus. And a pinkish, healthy pinkish tinge as well. Now when you imagine Sri Krishna's skin, his complexion, you can imagine him more dark if you want, more light. It's totally up to you, whatever you prefer. His eyes are said to be quite large. Meaning, like when you look at a beautiful face, often people would compare it to, oh, he or she has eyes like a deer, like a doe. So those doe-like eyes are very big and shaped in a certain way, like the petal of a lotus flower. So it's said that Sri Krishna has eyes like that, with beautifully arched eyebrows, without going to any of the beauty salons, just naturally arched, and beautiful long eyelashes which frame his eyes, giving it like almost like a black outline of his eyes. But maybe you like small eyes, and you like the way small eyes look better on someone's face. So you can think of Sri Krishna having small eyes. It's totally up to you. Because, as I said, whatever is his divine form, you'll see that when you become God-realized. For now, no matter what we're going to imagine, it's not going to be his actual divine form, yet we still have to imbue it with that divine feeling. That I know I can't imagine his actual form yet, but at the same time I know he's right here. So he is here and I'm imagining him, what he looks like. In other words, what I'm saying is you have total freedom. You don't have to worry about whether it's right or wrong. Just imagine his face, his decorations, everything, any way you want. Maybe you don't want a crown on his head. You want a turban with the peacock feather. Okay, it's fine. They say that he normally wears a yellow shawl around his shoulders and carries a black blanket when he goes out grazing the cows. And he has his flute with him. And he ties up a reddish kachini around his waist, and over top of that a golden kinkini, which is a bejeweled waistband that jingles when he walks. Then he's got his dhoti, saffron-colored dhoti, tied up also. And he wears golden anklets that jingle, and bangles, and bajuband. So he has all of these decorations. Even he wears ear pendants that hang attached to his crown, and they're quite large, and they also move when he moves. They're golden, shimmering, so it shines against his cheek, which is also glowing, so it creates different colors. The glow from his cheek with the glow from his ear pendant. And he wears a little besar, which is a little tear-shaped pearl, which is suspended from the middle of the nostril, from the septum, with a link. So it also moves when he moves his head, just a small pearl. Radharani wears the same thing. Plus she has her nut, which goes to the side, suspended from the crown. So we know what Sri Krishna looks like, thus we can use our eyes. I forgot about the banmala. He also wears many pearl and golden chains, and then a flower mala, which is quite long and goes down below his waist. So you use your eyes in this way, but you can add to it your sense of smell. Think about, what if I could smell a deep, subtle, pleasing perfume coming from that flower mala which Sri Krishna is wearing? Or maybe he himself has some oil, some scented oils, fragrant oils on his forehead, in his hair. You can smell that. You can use your sense of touch. Feel like, what would it be like if Shri Krishna put his hand on my shoulder or held my hand or gave me a hug? What would it be like if I could hear his voice? What would his voice sound like? And you imagine that in your meditation. Would it be low? Would it be high? Would it be soft? Or he's playing on his flute and you can hear that. Or you can hear as he walks the jingling of his anklets and kinkini and bangles. So you're using your sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of hearing. You can use all five of your senses to meditate on Shri Krishna. All of this is called Rup Dhyan. And because you're using your mind in this way and connecting it to Shri Krishna, you're purifying your mind. This is the process, the fastest process to purify the mind. And as the mind purifies, you get a more vivid sense of Shri Krishna's presence with you, so that it feels less and less like an imagination and more real, which it is real, but you're actually realizing the realness of it. The more you progress, the more your heart purifies. So you don't have to do anything else, just this meditating on his form using all of your senses purifies your mind, because you're faithfully joining your mind with Krishna, so he's gracing you, and that purifies your mind. While you're doing this Rup Dhyan, you can also alternate between Milan and Viraha feelings. See, you have so many options. There's no excuse for getting bored doing this. You can use your eyes, ears, nose, taste, use all your senses, and add to this two more options. You can imagine meeting with Shri Krishna, and you can imagine that you're separated from him. Both are valid styles of meditating. Meaning, imagine that you're sitting and you're waiting for Krishna and you see him coming towards you, just as I described. And as he comes towards you, you fall at his feet, you touch his feet, and he picks you up and he embraces you, and you can talk to him and walk with him. So you're with him. That's Milan. Or you can have Viraha style of meditation. In Viraha style of meditation, you feel like you're waiting for him to come, but he hasn't come yet. So you're begging him to come. You're longing to meet him. You're thinking, it's been so long I'm away from you. You alone are mine. Why don't you come to me? Come to me right now. That feeling of almost like begging Krishna, desiring him to come to you. That's called Viraha, this feeling of longing. Keep alternating. Sometimes imagine meeting Krishna, sometimes you're just waiting for him. If you have trouble picturing the form of Shri Krishna, take the help of a picture or a murti. Keep it in front of you and open your eyes and look at it. And then you form an image based on that. Then again, close your eyes and try to imagine that. If you're having more trouble, open your eyes. You can even meditate with your eyes open, although it's a little distracting if there are other people around, but if there's no one else around, you can meditate with your eyes open and try to imagine Shri Krishna appearing right here in front of you. That's also possible. So you can use all of your five senses. You can alternate between Viraha and Milan, and you have total freedom as to what age you want to think of Shri Krishna. Saints have always described him as being eternally 16 years old, but if you want to think of him as being newborn, like when he came here on earth, he did that lila of being newborn, growing up, you can think of him as any age, even an old man if you want, walking with the help of a stick. Vam jirno dandena vanchasi. Ved says that, oh, you are also an old man who needs the help of a stick to walk. So you can imagine him any age you want. You can dress him any way you want. Even if you want to dress him in jeans and a t-shirt, he has no objection. You can go that far. You don't have to have him in traditional dress. Have him in a three-piece suit and a tie, or a tux and a bow tie, or shorts and a t-shirt. And then, again, you have no restriction with what you want to imagine him doing. I've taught this form of meditation to all ages. And inevitably, when I teach it to kids and tell them they have the freedom to, you know, once you imagine Sri Krishna has come to you, you can do whatever you want with him. Some of them say, oh, I took him driving. I sat him in the car and I drove him around. Another one says we went surfing. Another one says we played video games together. The point is that if your mind is in Krishna, it counts. You don't get more points because you imagined him in traditional dress with a traditional leela. It might be easier for you. It's easier for me. That's how I imagine him. Although I do have to admit, sometimes I think of him surfing. But most of the time I think of him in traditional dress with some traditional leela. That's easier for me. But if it's easier for you to think of him in some modern setting, totally fine. If Sri Krishna took avatar today, he wouldn't be walking around wearing his pitambar, would he? No, he'd have to dress like the kids nowadays dress. He'd play the games that kids nowadays play. So he'd play cricket, he'd play video games, he'd do whatever kids nowadays do. So if you want to meditate on such a leela, you're welcome to. You can imagine any leela you want, any dress of Sri Krishna. Keep changing his dress in your mind. Those of you who like to do murti puja, you maybe have a murti at home, you like to bathe it, dress it, offer things to your murti. So, do the same thing to Krishna. In your mind, do the whole thing. Bathe him, dress him, put anything you want on him, like the most expensive diamond necklace. Better than the Kohinoor diamond. $1 billion diamond, this big. Give him the best of anything. There's no cost to you in your meditation. Then you're looking at that white diamond necklace for a long time. You think, let me change it to a blue diamond necklace. So you remove that. You put a blue diamond necklace on him. You have all of that at your disposal in your meditation. Cook food for him. Offer it to him. The only condition is do it with faith that this is Sri Krishna that you're serving. The faith is the key, it's the joining factor. One time there was a Sethji who was very poor. He wasn't very successful in business. He had only a little bit of money. He started doing devotion to Sri Krishna, and whatever money he had, he lost it soon after starting his devotion to Krishna. So someone else told him, you know, you should worship Durga ji if you want to get money. So he got himself a murti of Durga, went home, put that on the altar, put Sri Krishna on the side, and started doing puja to Durga ji. So he was offering some dhoop, and there was a little bit, looked like there was little breeze blowing, and it was taking the dhoop, instead of it going towards Durga Maya, it was going over towards Sri Krishna. So this Sethji got frustrated. He said, you're even taking this? He went and got some rui, some cotton ball, and he stuffed it in Krishna's nostrils. He says, you're not having this too. This is for Durga Maya. Sri Krishna appears before him in his actual form and says, Varmango, what do you want? I'll give you anything. Sethji says, why are you coming to me now? I was doing puja to you for so long. He says, because today you have faith in me. You had full faith that I was stealing that dhoop. So when you have faith, I have to come. That's it. Bottom line. when we do our meditation, we should have the same faith, that this is real Shri Krishna that I'm meditating on, that I'm interacting with, that I'm serving. And you, as I explained to you before, choose one of those four bhav. He's your priyatam, he's your child, he's your best friend, he's your master, and you're his servant. Choose one of those bhav, and in your meditation, adopt that way of loving him and interacting with him. We have many, many examples to help us form this imagination. How did the Gwalbals interact with Krishna? How did Mother Yashoda interact with him? How did gopis interact with Shri Krishna? That can give us an idea how to get started. Then if you want to meditate on some leelas, you can even read some of the leelas written by Sur Das Ji or other great saints that describe all the leelas of Gwalbals, gopis, Mother Yashoda. We have the leelas described by Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, who described thousands of such leelas as well. This is material for us to use in our meditation. In fact, it's why Bhagwan comes. Bhavesmin klishyamana nama vidya kama karma bhi shravanas haranar hani shravanas maranar hani karishyan nitikechana bhagavatam. Why does God come? The main reason he comes is to reveal his leelas so we have some material to meditate on. All the other reasons are secondary. Oh, he came to kill Kans, he came to kill Ravan, he came to do this, he came to do that. He could have done all of that without coming. He could have thought and Kans would have died. He didn't have to take birth on the earth in order to find a way to kill Kans or Ravan. So he comes just to reveal his leelas so that we have something to meditate on. Yatha yathatma parimrijyate sau mat punyagatha shravana bhidhanai tatha tatha pasyati vastu sukshmam chakshuryathaivanjana samprayuktam. Shri Krishna tells Uddhavji in the Bhagavatam that the one who meditates on my leelas, he gradually purifies his heart and he gains the vision of me. Right now, we're all temporarily blind. In other words, we don't have the ability to see Shri Krishna. But just like a person in this world who has a temporary blindness can apply some Ayurvedic ointment to their eye and that medicine gradually cures their blindness, and gradually they can see light, and then they can see some shadowy forms, fuzzy forms, and then they can see a more clear outline, then they can see colors, then they can see everything clearly. In the same way, the more we meditate on his form, on his leelas, we purify our heart, and we get a more vivid realization of his closeness here with us. So we have to put in the effort, but we have full freedom to imagine him in any way we want. Imagine any leela, think of his virtues. Oh, he's kind, he's beautiful, he's playful, he's loving. Think of his dham, his divine abode, Vrindavan. They're all one, nam, roop, leela, guna, dham, jan, these six things. His name is just another form of he himself. His form, his virtues, meaning his gunas, his leelas, his abodes, and his divine associates like gopis, gwalbals. If your mind is anywhere in those six divine things, it counts as meditation. So you see, we have a lot of variety we can take advantage of, use the different bhav, use milan and viraha, use our different senses, keep changing our interaction with Krishna, have different leelas, change his dress. All of that is up to us. Now, in spite of all of this, when you sit to meditate, your mind is still going to wander. Unless you're like an instant all-star meditation expert, of which I've never met anyone. There must be someone out there who's instantly good at it. Probably you did a lot of bhakti in your past life, so based on all of that progress, you're starting already further ahead than the rest of us in this life. But most people will still have a challenge in the beginning to keep their mind in Shri Krishna. Even Arjun said, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramathi balavadriham tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Shri Krishna, you keep telling me to attach my mind to you, but this mind is more difficult to control than the wind. Who is saying? Arjun. Arjun, who had so much control over his senses that when his Guruji, when Dronacharya said, oh, take aim at that bird in the tree. He didn't say to shoot it. He's just saying practice your aim. So what do you see? All the other disciples described, oh, I see the tree with all the leaves. They're moving in the wind. I see the bird in the tree. And I see the eye of the bird, which is what Dronacharya was telling them to aim at. What did Arjun see? He said, Guruji, I only see the eye of the bird, nothing else. So he was Jitendriya. He had full control over his senses. Yet when it came to meditating, he says, Shri Krishna, this mind is like the wind. Can you control the wind? No, no one can control the wind. Well, my mind is more difficult to control even than the wind. So what did Shri Krishna say to Arjun? Did he say, okay, forget it then. You're right, it's too hard. I think you should give up. No, he said, Asanshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. Yes, Arjun, I agree with you. Man is durnigraha. It is difficult to control. He didn't say anigraha, impossible to control. He said difficult. How can you do it? Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Abhyas. Abhyas means practice. Again and again you have to practice. So the practice for us on the path of bhakti is when our mind, when we're trying to visualize Shri Krishna and our mind goes back to the world, what do? We bring it back to Krishna. So simple, right? But that's our effort. Mind will keep going back to the world. It will go, you know where it will go? Wherever you're attached. It will go to your children, your friends, your toys, your possessions, your work. Wherever you're attached, that's where your mind is going to go. So it's natural. Right now, we still have more attachment in the world than we have in Shri Krishna. So just like if something has a greater gravitational pull, it has more mass, it's going to have more effect on another body. The larger your attachments, the more pull they have on your mind. Right now, the world has more pull than Shri Krishna does on our mind. But it won't stay like that. Shri Krishna can easily overpower our worldly attachments, but it takes our effort to get past that critical point where we're more attached to Krishna, less attached to the world, then meditation becomes much more natural. But without our initial effort to overcome this challenge, it's not going to happen. I personally heard uncountable people come to Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj and say, Maharaj ji, main koshish karta hun, lekin man nahin lagta. Maharaj ji, I try to meditate on Krishna, but it doesn't happen. My mind doesn't stay in him, or it doesn't happen naturally. So he always very patiently explained this point. I used to, when I would hear that question again, I would say, oh, haven't you heard him explain this so many times? But he very patiently explained it every time. He would say, man lagega kyon? Lagana padega. Why would it just naturally stick to Krishna? It won't. It's naturally pulled to the world right now because you're more attached in the world. Lagana padega means you have to, with your own effort, withdraw it from the world and put it back in Krishna. And what is it going to do? It's going to go back in the world. So you bring it back to Krishna again. That's it. That's your abhyas you have to do. Shri Krishna said, abhyasena tukaunteya vairagyena chagrihyate. You'll gain control if you practice this vairagya and abhyas. Vairagya means bring your mind from the world. Abhyas, attach it to Krishna. Even in the Gita, Shri Krishna says, yato yato nischarati manash chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyamyait tadatmanam vasham nayet. Arjun, you have to make the effort to control your mind. It's going to keep going out. This chanchal man, it'll go out here, it'll go out there. Then you just have to keep bringing it back. Or use this trick, which is given to us by Kripaluji Maharaj. Wherever your mind goes, put Shri Krishna there. Trick your mind. It thinks it wants to run into the world, leaving Shri Krishna. Do this. Wherever it runs in the world, let it go there. Let's say you're sitting here trying to meditate on Shri Krishna, and your mind goes to, oh, I wonder what's going to be on TV when I get home tonight. So instead of getting frustrated by that thought, that, oh, mind, why are you going to such worldly things? Let your mind go and start thinking about TV. What's going to be on TV tonight? But put Shri Krishna in the TV. That's it. Think about what shows, oh, maybe this show, my favorite show. And then you see in that show, Shri Krishna has come. Like nowadays they have a term, right? Photobomb. Photobomb means someone else is taking a picture and you come and stick your face into to get your face in the picture. So you have Shri Krishna do that. Whatever scene is going on, whatever worldly scene is going on in your mind, put Shri Krishna in there as well. Then there's no struggle, no problem. Eventually your mind will say, I keep trying to leave this guy. I keep trying to run away from Shri Krishna and go in the world, and everywhere I go, he's there. Jana vyarth hai, yahi baith jaun. Like you train a monkey. Initially, you don't put the monkey on a 6-inch leash. He jumps around too much. He'll hurt himself. You give him a 100-foot leash and let him jump around within that area. He tries to go beyond 100 feet and the rope pulls him back. So he says, okay, why should I hurt my neck? I'll just run around and jump around in this 100-foot radius circle. Then when he gets used to that, cut it in half, give him a 50-foot rope. He'll get used to that, give him a 25-foot rope. Eventually, the one who's training that monkey works it right down to like a 6-inch rope or 12-inch rope, and then the monkey just sits there quietly. He's trained. He won't try to jump around too much. He got used to it slowly. Your mind will be like this. Gradually it will become trained, it will become calm, and you'll be able to keep thinking about Shri Krishna for long periods of time without being disturbed by worldly thoughts. But in the beginning, we have to make the effort. Nothing in this world ever happened without effort. Everything worth learning took time, took practice. So we also have to put in the effort and the time. We shouldn't be disheartened if we face some difficulty in the beginning. But there are some other things that will help us with this meditation that I will explain to you tomorrow. Tomorrow I will conclude this series, wrap up and summarize the whole thing. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.